Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Endow Podcast, a conversation not just about the feminine genius in general, but about cultivating your particular feminine genius through the Catholic intellectual tradition and intentional community. Well, hello, Endow ladies. I am here with Dr. John Cudback for the second time on the Endow Podcast. Welcome, Dr. Cudback.
Thank you very much, Simone. Great to be with you.
I'm so happy that you agreed to do this podcast. And Dr. Cudback's a professor of philosophy at Christendom College. He runs these amazing Bethany weekends, which you should check out, that I'm definitely checking out. And just last summer, right, Dr. Cudback released Woman and Man of the Household courses online.
That's right. Man was a little bit a few months before that in spring, and then Woman came out around October.
Okay. Well, I have watched all the modules for both of the courses for both Women of the Household, and I absolutely loved it. It's not one of those things you can listen to, you know, while you're washing dishes. You need to take it seriously. And I'm so glad that you came out with them. So Dr. Cudback, I'm definitely going to link to Woman and Man of the Household courses, but tell me your inspiration for creating these modules and these courses.
Well, thanks for asking. Just so that people have a sense of the kind of expansiveness or not of it, each is four modules that are in the kind of 50 minutes-ish. So it's just me giving a lecture, and then they come with reflection questions, and then self-examination questions, and then a kind of plan to help you make some resolutions. So it grew out of, as a lot of the work that I do, it grows out of my teaching philosophy at the college level. And it's just been such a blessing these 25 years to see how the truth and ancient wisdom that's first of all available through the light of natural reason has been passed on for generations in the perennial philosophy and theology just simply makes such a huge difference for people's lives. And you know, it's just, I think, a feature of life today is with the decay of culture, with the decay of education, and the loss of so many things that have been passed on, a big aspect of what's been passed on was certain kind of basic principles that we can just call wisdom principles about basic aspects of life, who we are, and set household, man, woman, our place in the household. I mean, this is really fundamental stuff. These are the kind of things especially would have been passed on. And so I more and more have found, the more I work on it, the more I teach on it, the more I lecture on it, both at the college and then going out and giving lectures here and there or workshops, I just find, well, I'm really hungry for this so much. I mean, for me, kind of the main thing I go to in my mind is especially young people who, as they kind of mature, maybe they've gone through a little conversion process, maybe they've just gotten married, or they're coming off of kind of the vagaries of being in college and the immediate years after that, and they've just started to become more serious and recognize, wow, life is really serious. There's so many opportunities here. There's so much that we're called to do. They have a clear sense that they've been kind of robbed of something, that there are things that they should have taught or should have seen, or certain customs should be passing on, but not sure where to look for it. You know, and though in the church, they certainly find a great, you know, preserver of tradition and much, much wisdom there. At the same time, I hope I'm not out of bounds in saying, as regards a lot of more concrete, practical things, kind of a lack of direction there. People are looking for, you know, kind of concrete stuff. Hey, you know, John, how do we think about this? How do we think about, you know, this aspect of my, I mean, starting with men, you know, this, because that's where I did start, you know, this aspect of my relationship with my wife. Hey, I'm finding this surprising. I'm finding this confusing. So I just, my heart is really in that I feel like I've been given a grace to be studying the things that I've been studying, had the mentors that I've had. And now, frankly, I've been blessed with 25 years of the hard knocks of trying to be a man in my household. It's just, I've been very reflective about it. I've tried to live the examined life that Socrates is talks about, not to mention, more to the point, trying to live a Christian life. Mentioned the examination, just because that's something I particularly picked up from the philosophical studies, is you need to be asking the questions. You need to be going to the principles. So anyway, these are geared towards giving the principles. It's not going to answer all the concrete particular issues.
Right. But then you have these office hours that are incredible, that you can get the mentorship through the office hours, which is amazing.
Well, you know, I make that available because I know that sometimes people want to be able to talk more about these things. You know, it's hard to understand them just sometimes from, oh, could you say that again? Could you explain that more? These are difficult things. It can't just come from a lecture. So
I love that. I love that. And at some point your heart just like emerged and said, I'm going to actually put this out there in the practical stuff, which to me is a work of the Holy Spirit, because I think you're right. I mean, you can listen to like as many theology and the body lectures as you want. But that can stay on the abstract level. Like a lot of our philosophy and theology can stay very abstract and you don't quite know what to do with it in the day to day. And to have your like spiritual fatherhood and is so like important. I would say that that's a huge need. Like you see all these mentorship things springing up right and left because, like you said, people are hungry. And I certainly was one of those people who definitely knew I was robbed of something. I couldn't name what it was, but I was like, this is not this proposal being made to me as a young adult. When I was a young adult, I was like, this isn't it. this is not what my heart was made for. And it wasn't until I encountered the life of the mind and all of that, that I started to see, oh, this is what my heart's been like looking for. And I want to live as a good life. And I know that that's not the good life. But I can't give myself the tradition. Somebody has to pass it on to me.
Amen. And we all have different, you know, we all have different places in the choir. And, again, it's a gift of being able to expose the things I've been exposed to. And so I really do take myself as having a kind of sacred obligation, you know, along with others. So I'm not the only one doing it, but I have listened to a lot of men, especially beginning there. And now I've, you know, and then I ended up turning to doing the woman of the household because it just so naturally followed. I'm blessed to have an amazing wife whose name is Sophia. And in many ways, she embodies a practical wisdom. And so she helped me put together this woman of the household to give the flip side, you know, to give the complementary principles.
Well, I was surprised when Woman of the Household came out because I paid attention when Man of the Household came out because there's always men contacting us in and out going, wait, where's Mandow? Where's the men's version? You know, and I think we need one. I'm going to put that out there to the universe, to God. But, you know, so I try to collect as many resources for men as possible to point them to. And there are some out there, but I was so excited when Man of the Household came up because, well, I've been like listening to you and being taught by you for years. So I trust you and sound philosophy, sound, you know, just learning to refine my own philosophical thinking. But then this is like household stuff. This is actually what philosophy and good theology is for. It's for our lives to be enriched. And I know you do that so well in your blog, Lifecraft. I thought, oh, this is great. I can't wait to tell the men in my life this. And when I finished listening to those modules, I had a man approach me and say, could you pray for me? I need to be more present to my wife in a certain way. And I thought, I just finished listening to Man the Household. And Dr. Cunback literally started in such a nuanced way. You were talking about the masculine genius and the feminine genius and how it took you. I mean, you said it 25 years, right? The experience of your own, you know, grappling and growing in that, in the household. And I really appreciated just the honesty of that in the modules. But then I had something very concrete to pass to him. I was like, hey, I think this is for you. So I hope everyone listening checks it out and recommends it. And there are so many things in there. I mean, I took a lot of notes for myself and so forth. But one of the things that I thought was so helpful was because we don't want to, like, when we talk about the masculine genius and the feminine genius, we don't want to fall into like stereotypes, you know, and like stereotypical, not just about the roles, but about the personalities, right? Like if you're nice, you're a woman. If you're mean, you're a man, you know, and just all of these stereotypes, we want to be liberated from because we're all such like unique little creatures. But the way that you framed the kind of like the starting point of the dynamic between the masculine and the feminine genius is that men have first responsibility. So I would love to hear you talk about that on this episode. You know, what do you mean by first responsibility? Yeah. How can our endowed women listening, you know, can you just talk about that? Because I thought
Sure. I begin with the conviction, Simone, that there is an astounding natural plan and that this natural plan has been obscured by a lot. It's been obscured by bad teaching. It's been obscured by bad practice. It's been obscured by ideology. And part of the whole problem is it's become much harder for us to talk about these things. It's come to such a pass where certain key words immediately have a ring that has been given to them now by the state of the current discussion. It's before going into these things, I say to people, I enter them with a certain fear and trembling, but nonetheless, we have to do it because we have to get at the truth. There is an astounding gift of how God has designed this. And it's not an easy gift to discover. It's not an easy gift to receive and to enact, but it's going to demand a lot for us. And really one of the most characteristic features of the modern age is we have rejected it. We've just said, no, we don't like this. We don't like how God has designed things, making there be, for instance, the natural difference between man and woman for their own common good and the common good of the broader community, rooted in an objective truth, rooted in a calling to spiritual goods, to higher goods. There's so many aspects of the modern worldview, and it's being more individualistic, it's being more self-centered, and it's being more materialistic, and it's being more hedonistic. All of these things, all in their each in their own ways, are working against that beautiful plan. And so I begin by saying, many of us, we have to, I say, begin with a certain humility, a certain courage. This might sound different. It might feel different. We have to be ready from the start. I really want to encourage people to be willing to look again. Be willing, maybe there's something here that we haven't yet seen that in fact is something that's true about what God wants to give to us. All right, so that is the background. Mm-hmm. I start with the absolute conviction and that there is a difference. Well, in context of equality, mm-hmm. both obviously being fully human and called mm-hmm. to the same natural and supernatural end as human persons, in the great richness that God has given us, he made our pursuit of human happiness and fulfillment be one where we would each have our unique contribution. You know, I've been reading Plato, who has some very important mistakes, but at the same time, he has so much great insight. And in the Republic, one of the things he keeps emphasizing, it's really been jumping out at me this time than reading it, is to be attentive to nature and natural differences. Mm-hmm. And to see how there's a plan of nature that is always for the common good. Difference for the common good. Difference for the common good. A difference then that brings us together so as to be able to flourish together. And so that's one of the most beautiful aspects is the more that we see this, the more we realize that the rejection of the difference between man and woman is a rejection of the unity that they're called to. If we keep insisting that they're the same, paradoxically, that will isolate us from one another because we're missing the natural plan for how we come together. So that said, man is naturally a crafter. Man is someone who naturally has a sense that he wants to make something and make something great. Now, that could sound like a stereotype. And here's the thing. We do have to speak in certain generalities here. It shows up differently in different men. I think the reality is, the truth is, I think if we look at this honestly, there is a very important truth there that's captured by these kind of terms. I mean, there's a difference between little boys. Right now, we have the blessing for a little while to have my first little grandson, my first grandchild, living in our home. I haven't had a toddler in the home for a number of years at this point. And just to have that opportunity to see again the kind of energy that he has for kind of being proactive, for making things happen, for kind of saying, I can do this. I'm going to make this happen. Let me do this. I'm going to pull all these things together. Now, there's certain aspects of that can be in a woman too, but it takes a very different form. So let's just, for the folks, moment then, focus on men. So we're going to craft something. Well, ultimately, here's the thing. What are we about crafting? The modern age has so focused our attention on doing things outside the home, of doing things kind of in matter, in doing things in business, at men kind of performing in the realm of getting power over external stuff. And that's what we value. That's what we praise. That's what we honor. We don't praise and honor men who make something, who become crafters of a context of a community of human life. And so much involved here is, this is what I have to go into in the course, is then that we have to talk a little bit about what the natural community of the household here is. And we're not going to do that right now, but just kind of take as given, hey, part of the natural plan is there's this astounding thing called a household, to which, of course, family is essential, that is the primary natural context for human life to be lived.
Yeah.
For it to be lived well there, there have to be people who take responsibility for it, who care for it, who give it a certain order. And honestly, I think as soon as you start to say these things in men, something already starts to happen in them where they're starting to have a sense of, ooh, whoa, we're going in a powerful direction here. Wait a second. Yeah. I mean, again, depending on their background, again, it might put some men off, but many men already, just to start to say that, you can craft human life.
Right.
You can craft human community. And indeed, you know, all that energy that you have and a sense of kind of power and strength, outwards directedness, all of that is part of an endowment, part of God showing you a natural call that you have to direct that energy towards making a community in which people can flourish. You're called to be a man of the household where, lo and behold, you have first responsibility. It took me a long time to get to the phrase. This is what I'm called to. And you know, there's a little bit here of an element of exactly why it's hard to say. And I'm going to put it this way. Why do birds sing? Why do trees grow? Certain things of nature are just, you discover them, and they're evidently so. And one thing about men, it's clear if we have eyes to see, is that they are designed to take the initiative and say, hey, this is something that I am drawn to take responsibility for, I want to take responsibility for, and that clearly is then further enacted in their falling in love with a woman, inviting her to come and join him in the project that he has begun in his very masculine, outward, initiating, energy-filled, strong way to begin to conceptualize. And there's a ton of things he's going to need to learn about to bring to completion these things that he's an initiator of and has to take first responsibility in. But one of the biggest things he's going to have to learn is there's a ton he's got to learn from her if he's going to do this reasonably. But it begins with him. It begins with his recognition of, I am called to start this.
Love it. I love that phrase, first responsibility. I even felt a sense of freedom when you said the phrase first responsibility, like, yes, I don't want to have first responsibility. And then I thought, well, wait, I'm the kind of woman that has all the ideas, you know? And so what does that mean? Am I not allowed to have the ideas anymore? And then you went into that. And how for a man to have first responsibility, that means that it's kind of that dynamic, nuanced process of taking, I'm not married, but his wife's idea or a woman's idea, and then making it his project. And I really appreciated that because it really helped, you know, because we don't want to fall into stereotypes and all of that. On the other hand, we do need these categories because there is a difference, and we can't make a gift of self to each other if we don't acknowledge that difference.
Right. Very well said, Simone. And this is the thing. Again, we have to be very sensitive to the fact that this is a delicate plan, a plan. It's so beautiful and rich and calm. There's serious ways it can go wrong. You know, the old expression, the lily that rots smells the worst. The relationship of man and woman and what each is called to do demands so much of each. You get almost tempted to look at it and say, Lord, how could you make it so demanding? And that way, it's a microcosm of human life. Human life, as the great ancient philosophers saw, is an arduous good. It demands a lot. And when you fall short, boy, you fall short because of the greatness that we are called to. And so it's so many people, I started to say, because of experience, I'm going to say here especially, of men who have failed in taking first responsibility. Many, many, many people have been hurt precisely by that failure it deforms how we think about men. For so many now in a wounded culture, to think of men taking first responsibility is revolting, because what they've seen is something that convinces them that it can't be done, or that it is an intrinsically offensive thing. And this, I, the more I look at this and talk to people, the more I am very understanding of this. But to me, it ultimately feeds back into seeing the truth of it. Yeah. It's precisely in the failure of this that there are such dramatic consequences. God give us each the humility and the courage and the willing, the glove to step up. Again, we can look at it from both sides, of the man and the woman in these complementary roles and what it's going to demand of us. But I mean, part of it on each side is to accept my difference from the other and the other's difference from me and what I'm going to have to learn from the other. And I'm just going to say it straight out here, Simone. There is a sense in which I think especially this relationship can fall particularly heavily on the woman. And this is something that I've learned from my wife. I was dense, and this is part of the scariness of it. I think a lot of men are a bit dense. They're slow. I'm not indulging. Some people, I think, go too far on this. Oh, you know, women see it all, and the guys are so stupid. Sorry, that not help. Then it would be silly to ask men to take first responsibility.
Right. That's not true.
No, yeah. That's not true. But they do need to be willing to see that one of the things the nature is especially endowed woman with is a very strong sense of personal relationship and what personal relationships demand. And I'll say this also, women in marriage, in the relationship of man and woman, actually tend to discover first the profundity of the difference. And I know for a fact that it is often very scary to them. They start to perceive, oh my goodness, we're so different from one another. How is this going to work? And she sees that before he does. And so you have a very dangerous situation here where he's supposed to be fundamentally taking the lead, but he's not seeing something that's absolutely key to this relationship working. And right there is one of the first instances of where I say, if we look humbly, it's such an astounding design. It's custom made, literally. This wasn't accidental. It's custom made literally to demand this incredible growth on both sides of being willing to, as it were, fall on our face and accept what we haven't seen. A woman has to help a man see what he can't see on his own so as to be able to fulfill his own first responsibility. He'll never be able to fulfill his first responsibility until he realizes that she sees better often how he is falling short and what some of their differences are than he is. But that never threatens that he is still called to step up and take first responsibility for initiating that this is working, for making sure that we each have our place. There's always a man's first responsibility to make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, and frankly, that she's fulfilling her role. Part of his first responsibility is to see, are we both respecting that? Yeah. So he's capable of doing that unless he helps. So I'm talking too much.
No, not at all. I could just keep listening to you, Professor, for, I mean, I could. I actually do. And I think it's just so healing. I felt such an emotional release even just hearing you talk about it and first responsibility, but then also the respect that true men have for understanding this gift of women and this genius of women. And then part of the whole protect and provide thing that we talk about all the time in the church is actually like listening to her and for her to cultivate her own genius, to present her idea in such a way as to be well received. And this is where there's no formula or theology that's going to take away what you said, which is that this is complex, nuanced, and very particular to, we can talk about it in general, but also specifically within each unique individual household, right?
Right.
Those personalities. Right. But I find it exciting to talk about, and I find it exciting to think of the fact that if we took this very seriously, and like you said, like the world is 100% against all this in the most dramatic ways that never like imaginable, that we could never have imagined. Right. If we can do this and really witness to this, then I think we could really be what church is, which is a source of healing. And that's something we saw on the early church. We saw this first responsibility and women being the drivers of conversion and the drivers of history and seeing that dynamic be very fruitful in converting the empire and the church. So we can do it again here and now, but it'll take a certain commitment and intelligence and a way to like say no to all the other stuff that's being thrown at us.
Right, right. Can I make a quick comment on that, Simone? Part of the problem is that society has followed a perverted masculine view. As a whole, we think of life through a bad version of masculinity, an over-externalized success power, success in the external forum context. And so part of the upshot of that then is that this is the reason, and I love thinking more about this, there's so much reason for feminism or for women to be finding the current situation very unpalatable to them, because real femininity is not understood. And in a world where the hierarchy, where the judgment factors, the criteria of success come from this over-masculinized, again, kind of a perversion of masculinity viewpoint is dominant. It makes women feel as though they need to follow that if they're going to be appreciated. And so the problem here then is they reasonably feel, oh my gosh, this is so unfair. I'm working on an unfair basis. What is really nature's calling them to is completely underappreciated. And so then in this phony version, then even a number of kind of traditionally minded people still not quite getting understanding properly, say, well, women are supposed to do this. And then that itself is kind of a caricature.
Yeah,
and we have society as a whole, again, thinking in this kind of caricature of masculinity. And we have this absolute wipeout nightmare of basically nobody seeing men and women not appreciating the real masculinity and the real femininity, both of which would be encouraging one another and bringing one another out. And so I want to particularly say to the men, we need men, especially who in taking first responsibility, will have confidence in what true masculinity is, being willing to put a kind of priority on the home, something that is inappropriately considered to be a feminine thing, to put emphasis on the home. No, real masculinity actually puts a real emphasis on the home. And then that will be part of then a man recognizing the real genius of woman in this irreplaceable ability and calling to nourish life and relationship in this amazing context called the household, where then the woman has that irreplaceable way of crafting a context through her feminine genius that is so conducive to truly human life. We need men to step forward and honor that and call women to it precisely by honoring it. So this is where the man in realizing who he is going to be absolutely essential to the woman realizing who she is.
I mean, talk about a cultural diagnosis. And where to even begin? And who goes first, right? Because then we have this problem with women, and even like you mentioned, traditional women who will feel like, well, to stay in the game, to stay in the man's game, which is not even an authentically masculine game, as you're saying, I have to do that. And because I'm Catholic and I care about my family and kids and I got kids, and then you have strange things coming out. Like you can have this beautiful household with all the beautiful children and everything, and I can fulfill all of my worldly dreams as well. And that's not true. That's simply not true. And we hear that. And you know, everybody has more dreams than they could possibly fulfill, right? And that, right. I think keeping that heart and that tension alive is actually a good thing, even though it's a painful thing. I think about my dreams every day, knowing that most of them will not be fulfilled, but that somehow this keeps my heart alive in God. But I have to ultimately choose, right? And every time I pick a book to read, probably the podcasts are sick of me saying this. It's such a painful decision, you know, because I have to actually, I cannot read all the books that I want to read. I can't.
Right.
So I certainly can't have it all in life. So then for women who are maybe married to good guys who haven't yet taken full, you know, first responsibility. They're like, I'm making all these sacrifices to be a woman of the household, but then I'm not being supported by my husband in the way that, in the spiritual way that I need to be. But then if he started taking, and you know, so there, it's just, it's, yeah, it's yeah, who goes first? Who goes first?
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's a couple quick thoughts on that. There's so many great things we could say right here. Let me do this one quick on kind of who going first. By and large, I like saying to men, you need to get yourself together. You need to take first responsibility for going first, because given that we're naturally, the man is naturally called to take first responsibility, it's that includes that. I think it's, again, we have to do this in a nuanced way. If you go into a house, I'm not trying to be the psychologist or the analyzer of all problems. My attitude as the husband and father is, if there's something out of order in my house, I'm going to take first responsibility for that, because I think this is part of the call to take the lead. This isn't absolving a woman of all responsibility, if we're going to say. Any mistake she's made, that's simply because her husband had messed up prior to that. No, we both are in the drama of we need to be forming ourselves spiritually and morally and taking responsibility for each doing our part. That said, there is a kind of priority there where a husband has to, and it's funny, it took me years to see this more, where I have to say, look, if there's something amiss here in the children, there's something amiss in my relationship with my wife, it's fitting, yes, the both of us ask, how can I fix this? But I'm utterly convinced, both in theory and in practice from experience, that I have to be willing to say, dear, I must not be leading well here. There's something I'm not seeing. There's something I'm not doing. And I just tell you right now, though, I'm not exactly sure what it is. I'm going to be doing everything that I can to discover it. Now, so in that sense, I'm going to encourage men to go first. Now, very often, you have a good woman who inspires a man. I mean, there's some sense in which his love for her is what inspires him to go first. So by a woman, just by being herself, can call him up, and even in a situation, it doesn't have to begin with the man having seen this. Sometimes the good woman has been faithful, has continued to kind of be trying to be feminine, but in her appropriate ways, saying to the man, I need you to do this, and kind of keep conveying it without stepping in and taking over, mm-hmm. Which is a mistake, an understandable mistake. Sometimes women have to step up and stand in for certain things a man is not doing. I know. By being more feminine, I'm going to try to draw him into, right? So in that sense, the woman can lead. But if I may, let's go back to the other thing of, all right, women, I'll say this straight out. The household, especially the children, need the bodily presence of a woman more and more often than they need the bodily presence of a husband and father. And so there is a sense in which a woman in getting married and becoming a mother is committing herself to something that's going to be very difficult, very demanding, but it is going to be more all-absorbing for her mm-hmm. than it is for the husband. I say that, I will say that outright. Now, let me try to nuance that a little bit. Let me come back and say this. A husband, I think, does need to lead in this way. And one of the reasons that women are again, very, I think, reticent, not finding themselves particularly inspired to kind of give up their larger dreams to spend most of their time and energy in the household, is because men are not appropriately doing that either. This kind of phony masculinity that has overvalued executive success. I mean, look, you need to recognize there's a place and a value to success in the business world. But I submit it is way overvalued. You have so many, first of all, men whose dream of kind of becoming themselves is overly tied to performing in that external material business, for lack of a better word, success realm. And that takes them away from appropriate understanding of how they should be invested, especially if they're husbands and fathers, that many of them are, in their household. It's understandable then, if they are not willing to put appropriate emphasis there, it's understandable why the woman wouldn't also. So men absolutely need to reevaluate and make a new hierarchy. That said, I think according to a natural order, a man is more external oriented in the realm of gathering the things, providing and protecting. I'm going to say openly, I think by and large, men are more called to lead in the public forum. By and large, it's a more masculine-oriented realm. That doesn't mean that I'm not suggesting that women do not have a place there, but it is one where there is, as there were, more of a call for men to be thinking of, how do I need to go out there to serve the common good?
Yeah.
And for women, they absolutely have a place according to various circumstances outside of the home, but we must not lose sight or in any way underestimate for households to be what they must be, should be, so powerfully, so beautifully. They need a woman who is, in a sense, more concretely and totally, as regards her time and immediate attention, invested here. It's both men and women must give, I say, their whole heart to the household. But having given their whole heart to it, a bit of a man's time and energy for the sake of serving the household and serving the broader common good is going to have to be in things that are not in the immediate day-to-day, the way that children in the household need the woman's heart to be there. So this is why, Simone, I think to unfold that, that's where we would want to talk more about a woman more. My wife at one point just said this to me explicitly, so I'm just going to say this. Basically, John, do you realize that am I marrying you? I had to give up concretely more than you have.
Yes. Wow. Love her.
And that just completely caught me short. Honestly, and honestly, ask, was the right answer to that? Oh no, Sophie, that's not true. Baby, you can, no, you didn't have to.
Yeah,
give
you
up,
can have it all. Don't worry still.
All those things that you gave up. My wife is not only a mother in our household. She's a mother in a broader way than that. Nonetheless, her motherhood in our household, this incomparably beautiful and powerful thing that has been such a blessing to so many, both in and outside our household, she was able to do because she was willing to make a kind of sacrifice that I didn't.
I mean, that's real, right? Finally, someone said it out loud.
And it's, I think,
real.
So
let's just say it, because we can say all the other stuff and it sounds great and it sounds marketable, but this is real life. And she was right that she said that to you. And wow, how helpful that is to hear. Because again, sometimes when I'm looking out at Catholic social media influencers, I'm like, I can't quite put it the way your wife did, because I'm not married and run a household with children, but I know that what they're saying doesn't resonate.
Right.
Somehow it's just not cutting it. And you know, just looking at my own family of origin, upbringing, and the sacrifices that were made. And so you have to like choose what you value and choose what you're called for. And I think John Paul II holds that nuance so well, because at the same time where he's thanking women in whatever their personal vocations are, working professionals, working moms, stay-at-home wives, you know, appointing a lot of women to these Vatican, you know, positions. At the same time, what he's saying over and over and over again is that women of the household and mothers and wives, our society continues to degrade. And that the more we continue to measure women, not by the eternal measure of the Holy Trinity, which is a great phrase from Letter to Women, but by, like what you were saying, right, about this like hyper masculine, not even authentic masculine culture, right, out there. Okay. The more that he's like, we can have all the, and I think he says this in his letter to the UN Secretary General, or is it even Evangelium Vitae? I can't remember, but he says, you know, we can have all the right laws and rules and everything, you know, equal rights for women and all that, but since women play such a fundamental role in the household, in family life, how are we really bringing justice to our children and to people,
right,
if we make her feel guilty for taking her out of her context?
Yes.
So I love that.
Amen, Simone. And here's the thing. There's some women right now, obviously, listening, we're not married. And maybe they never will be married. And this isn't to say somehow only full real woman is the woman who is the wife and mother in the household. We're not saying that. I do absolutely hold that all women are called to be mothers. And there's an incredible richness, right, yeah, to the notion of motherhood and these other ways of exercising a real motherhood. So but I mean, what we're advocating here for is just a reevaluation a new vision where we all recognize, regardless of what each of us individually is called to, that there is this unique primacy and power of what happens in a household that is so particularly expressive of femininity, and how we need to value again and support again the women who recognize that and who are willing to kind of honor that in their lives. And again, there's always, depending on the different circumstances, it's not saying you can't have a job outside the household.
Right.
It's not saying that they don't have specific, as you designed so perfectly, properly, appropriately points out that femininity, and John Paul II, of course, does too, have a unique role in the various professions and how there's a particular need for that presence there. Now, we still need to talk about how. Again, we have to keep our balance here. I think it's a bit imbalanced and unbalanced to just then say, so we need femininity in the professions out there, so ladies just go. I'm not going to say that. Somehow we keep in balance, motherhood, how do we keep recognizing the appropriate preciousness there, mm-hmm. especially then for those that are called to it? Are we supporting them, first of all, as husbands and fathers, in making their discernment? Really quickly, this is a tough one. My wife pointed this out to me, and she kind of keeps kicking me on this. She said, John, yes, sometimes, husbands have to then maybe recognize that, hey, all that their wives have given up, how can they empower them maybe not to have to have given up absolutely everything? Can they still, do this or do that? But on the flip side, sometimes it might be the husband who, with love and gentleness and humility, is actually coming and saying, dear, I know you have these other dreams, but let's look at this honestly together and ask, are you being unrealistic? Are we being unrealistic in not really kind of encouraging you to appropriately see first what's going to be demanded of you here? Is a husband doing that out of selfishness? Is a husband doing that to lord it over his wife? God grant that he be doing that in humility and in truth, and coming from a place where he too has shown, God grant, that he's willing to sacrifice. We're all called to great sacrifices. It just takes different forms.
Oh, that's some gold right there. That is, it's fantastic, just what you said. And, it's funny what you just said, because I literally have been talking to close friends of mine about this very thing, about that very thing. That very conversation just happened with some very close friends of mine. So I think it's just such a little God wink that you just mentioned it. And I can't wait to share this podcast episode with them and then go, yes, amen. Like, this is true. And
right, thank you. There's a lot more to talk about here.
There's a lot more to talk about, but this is a little taste. I really just want to direct everyone to your blog, Lifecraft and Man the Household and Women of the Household course. And anything else you want to say before we say goodbye, Professor? This was fantastic. Thank you so much for all your work and all your speaking.
Well, thank you. If you think you might be able to profit from the course, I'd absolutely love to have you take it. Obviously, it's free, and maybe we can meet in online office hours. We're all in this together. Let's remember each other in prayer. We all need to grow in self-knowledge and realize where we need to, let's help one another in that. It's about receiving the gift. God's plan for us is always better than we've yet realized. We need to have confidence in that. We need to pattern that. We need to pattern that for our children. We need to pattern that for our girls. The dear girls, I see, sometimes some of them say, no one is patterning for us that it's wonderful to be a woman.
Yeah.
So we need to be patterning for boys and girls, for men and women, the gift that it is. Let's just keep trying to discover it together.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you, Steve-O.
If this episode was helpful for you, please consider sharing it with a friend or two. We would also appreciate it so much if you left a rating and review so that more women can discover Endow and our mission to help women cultivate their unique feminine genius. Please also check out the link below to learn how to become a monthly donor to help defray podcast production costs. And, of course, if you'd like to talk to me about joining or starting your own Endow group, please email me at simone.rascala@endowgroups.org. And remember, you are the heart of Endow.